If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember, all the thieves are together. Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus. By the way, I sincerely believe that God answers prayer, because in the fourth quarter of Georgia's game last night, I saw Mark Rick over there on his face. And I also believe God chooses not to answer some prayers because Dallas got beat again. And I'm the only Dallas fan in here. Oh, hey, we got one more. Bless you, Si. Verse 17. Somebody want to quote it for us? What does it say? Never stop praying. What does it say? Pray without ceasing. What's another translation? Pray continually. Perseveringly. Never stop. Well, I don't know that the artist that wrote this song meant this by that, but I think when it said, whoop, there it is. There it is. Right there. Pray all the time. Now, last week, I asked you to ask people a question. You remember the question? May I pray with you? Mr. English over here would correct us, say you can't say can because you have ability. You're asking for permission, right? I got that rule right. I mean, he keeps us in line with all this. I wish I'd have had him years ago. It could have kept me away from some things. May I pray with you? That one little statement, what does it unlock? What happened in your life this week? Did anybody have a chance to pray with somebody this week? Let me see your hand. Just, I'd really be interested in hearing all those testimonies. But you think about, and let me just take you on a little, just a quick journey, just a few stories so you can remember when people pray. You go up on a mountain, Moriah. There's a guy with his boy up there. Abraham with Isaac, been directed by God to be up there. Let me ask you, was prayer important up on that mountain? Was it important to hear from God on that mountain? Was somebody's life on the line on that mountain? What if Abraham had not listened and not been hearing the voice of God with a knife in his hand? See, it's important. Let me say, tell you, timing is important in prayer too, isn't it? What little subplot going there in that story that weaves its way through. Let's go to another mountain. Let's go to Lofty Carmel. There you got Elijah lined up against all of Jezebel's prophets and all of Ahab's prophets, the prophets of Baal. They've got hundreds of them up there. And they're carrying on, laughing and doing all this cultic stuff up there. And was prayer important on that mountain? When they turned to Elijah, now it's your turn. The sacrifice, you know, the wood is put there. And then he has them go get water. You know the story. They dig the trench around the... They wet it down so much, water fills the trench and all. And then he prays. And what happens? fire comes from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. Prayer was important. We got Daniel. Let's race on ahead. There he is, thrown in the lion's den. Unfairly. By evil men who've been plotting to get rid of him. And there he is. And suddenly, the lions don't see him just as another snack that day. They experience lockjaw. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. But how long did that last? Well, the king came in the next morning, and there he's surprised. And he finds Daniel. He brings Daniel out. But when Daniel goes out, somebody else goes in. All those who had accused Daniel. And the lion's mouths were open. Was prayer important? May I pray for you? You see, in each of these stories so far, you know, it's not only involved a person. Rick made the point this morning. It's not just about you. It's always involving somebody else. Always. We race on to David. The little shepherd boy. The pipsqueak of a guy. Yes, he was handsome, but he was a little fella. Brothers were off at war. The Philistines have lined up against the army of Israel. Saul doesn't know what he's going to do because he knows he doesn't have anybody to go out and compete with this army. Well-equipped, well-trained army and led by the masses. Goliath. I mean, an M1 tank in human form. No one could defeat him. But what does David say as he is incensed about Goliath and what Goliath is saying about Israel and about Israel's God? What does he say? He says, "This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand." And can't you see Goliath just laughing there and laughing until the last thing that comes on his mind that day? You know what it was? It was one of those small stones that had been chosen from the brook. That's the last thing he had on his mind. That day, when God decides to do something because we pray, it can be the most insignificant little guy out here against an M1 tank with a slingshot. How can that be? And then insult to injury, he draws Goliath's sword that he can barely handle himself, and that's where he relieves him of his head. "This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand." And then we go to John 17. And here's Jesus. He's heading to the cross. And he prays his great high priestly prayer, his intercessory prayer. And he's praying for us. "Not only do I pray for these, Lord," verse 20 and 17, there, "but I'm praying for those who will come." Who's that? Us. Let me tell you, when Jesus was praying then, he could see your need. He could see the deep stuff that you are embedded in today. He could see your angst and your anger. That would destroy your life. He could see the division in your life. He could see the wounds of your heart, your past, some of which you hadn't shared with another soul, and only those perpetrators know what has been done to you. He could see it all. And he prayed. He prayed. He prayed for you and he prayed for me. We don't pray as a last resort. We pray as a first response. We begin with prayer. We must. We don't come at it and say, well, if nothing else it works, well, let's throw up some prayers. And maybe there's some Velcro up there and it'll stick. No. No. Prayer's often forgotten. Even in the greatest prayer warriors in our society, it's often a convenience. Because most often, God's calling on us to pray and it interrupts what we're doing, doesn't it? Because He stops you. Because prayer isn't an exercise of where we're dealing with a bureaucracy. It's a connection one-on-one with God Himself. Prayer isn't very popular. Even though it's very simple, it's still difficult. Is it not? Because in order to pray, you've got to divest yourself of you. It means you're calling on Him. And you can have all the ramifications of prayer, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of praise, worship in prayer, prayers of intercession, prayers of supplication, prayers of just kind of putting it out there where you don't understand. Do you get me? You know, prayer can become a rehash of old want lists. As we say the incantations over, maybe with more fervency this time. But you see, Jesus, He could speak it out loud or speak in the still, small voice, and yet the authority is the same. Is it not? Are you following me? These words are chosen very carefully today. And yes, prayer can even become a place of pride. And God abhors pride. Does He not? So when I ask you to ask the question where you are, if you're a believer, of course. If you're not a believer, let me say to you today, you need Jesus today. Not tomorrow. You need Him now. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. If you ever received Him, you can receive Him today, right now. Ask Him to come into your life. To forgive your sin, make you a new person. He will. But if you've done that transaction, if you have become a follower, a disciple, one who follows the discipline of Jesus, then you don't have a choice about prayer. It's not one of the gifts. They give some gifts to some and some to the other. It's for everybody. And yes, I do believe specific intercession, that is, well, a specific spiritual gift. But prayer is for everyone. For everyone. For all of us. We're commanded. In fact, that verse that we began with, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, is in the imperative mode, and it means you now pray without ceasing. Not scrubbing your knees. But being in an attitude of prayer wherever you go. So what does this prayer do for someone? What does it do for you? When you say, may I pray for you? Listen closely. You become the lightning rod of God. Years ago, I remember this preacher. That was his moniker, the rod of God. The lightning rod of God. Bang! Right there. It might be in Walmart. It might be in the ICU. It might be in the checkout line. Lord knows you can hear a lot. Get a lot of theology in the checkout line. Kroger. Walmart, especially Walmart. When I got 10,000 people waiting in two lines, you know. You become the conduit of the acts of God, of His voice. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
The conduit of God Himself, as you pray for someone, it's not as if the hand of God is touching them. The hand of God is touching them. Through you. You're making a choice, too. You're calling on the storehouse of heaven to be brought to bear in that person's life, in that family's life, in that circumstance, whatever it is, you've been asked to pray. And 9 out of 10 times, what you've been asked to pray about tells about that much of the story, doesn't it? When you're doing your prayer request before everybody, do you spill it all? Of course you don't. Because it'd be embarrassing to spill it all. Kind of like somebody told me one time, I was spilling a little bit of it. He said, preacher, I don't think I'd have said that. But you know, as you pray, that God brings it to mind. The storehouse of heaven, all of heaven at your disposal. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. What does that mean? That means as we go, the authority of God rests on us. It's not about what happens in here. This is the easy part. We come and gather together, and it's a wonderful time. Wonderful worship. Experiencing the presence of God. So He can throw us out for the 24/7 of the 365 and then the leap year. Throw it in there every time that we can be the people of God where we are. Because God's not as much interested in what meeting you were a part of. He's interested in what your heart is. You become the change agent of the Lord Himself. Because when you pray, and you're praying out loud, and so many times you're praying out loud, and this is another sermon for another day about the evil one, but so he and all of his henchmen can hear the blessing of God being spoken out loud right there. The intercession that you're doing is spoken out loud so people can understand it and experience it and all the evil that goes on. And don't sit here and tell me that you don't feel evil at some places where you go, where you feel more of it going on. You know that there's something deeply spiritual about this life and about what's going on. And if you haven't connected with that, then you really are out of touch today with what God's doing in the earth right now. Because there's so many things that are happening right now. We've got to listen to Him. But He's chosen us to be the change. You mean me? Who am I? Where you're His disciple, you're blood-bought, twice born, and glory-bound. You belong to Him. You are His ambassador. You're a child of the King. It's time to start acting like one. I'm not calling on you to act like some big shot in worldly standards. I'm calling on you to start acting like a child of Jesus. And finally, God comes through your flesh and you see that incarnation take place again. God becomes flesh. No, you're not God, but He is in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians, that we are the tabernacle, our bodies are the tabernacle of God. May I pray for you? One preacher was 6 weeks deep in preaching the same sermon every week. A little different, but I'm up to 2 now. Do you understand me? This isn't about churchianity. This isn't about our denominations and our boards and all the hoopla of stuff that really, but when it hits the fan, all that doesn't matter, does it? What matters is, do I have Him and does He have me? And what a great love He has. Because you see, then May I pray for you? Your very personality, who you are, how God created you to be, all the quirks about what makes you adorable in the sight of God. Become the clay in His hands. He wants to use you. You say, Dusty, I can't articulate it. None of us can when we're trying to plow somebody else's field. God's given you a field. People. Influence. To use an agricultural illustration, it's time to hook up the harrows. That's those blades that they pull behind the tractor that turns up the soil. It's time for you to embrace the fact that you're chosen by God. Hey, use Facebook, emails, all that stuff to do everything else. Right? Let me see. What time does Dallas play today? Daniel, you ruined me, son. Yes, he does. Why not let it all become his? I'm not talking about, don't hear me today saying, oh, you need to give up this or give up that. No. I'm saying, take Jesus right in the middle of it. The Great Commission is not go. That's not a very accurate translation of that. The accurate translation of it is this: as you go, preach, teach, and baptize, wherever you go. Be His instrument and shine brightly with what God has put in your hands. Let's pray. Before I pray, as our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider this message today to you. I believe it's a word for us today. If I were preaching in a hyper charismatic atmosphere right now, I'd say, God has given me a word of prophecy for you, and He has. And here it is. If I was speaking in my sovereignty of God reform leanings about some theological themes, I'd say to you today, God has spoken through His Word. If I were John Wesley today, I'd say to you, my heart has been strangely moved today. What is God saying to you right now? I'm going to open the altar in just a moment for you to come and pray. Maybe you want to get someone to come to the altar and pray. Pray where you are, where you sit. God hears your prayer today. Come to Him with a humble heart, and He'll hear it all. Lord, I ask you right now to come in this place with your power, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying, Lord, you'll stir up the gifts. I'm praying, Lord, you'll do what man can't do. Lord, as we ask the question, may I pray for you? Lord, come now. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come to us. The altar's up.
Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Now because of who I am, but because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. Because of who I am, but because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours.
We'd sure like to get those cards from you if you have an offering to bring. You can pass by the basket here, or basket in the back. I want to thank y'all for everything last Sunday. That was, all the good food, the fellowship, the words of affirmation, the gifts. And speaking for me personally, Lord and I, opening those Sunday night, just sitting there opening those cards, those letters, and especially ones from the kids, everybody's, but the kids and some of the teenagers, and those speaking my love language, part of that is humor, and I love it. I delight in it. And it is wonderful. And I just want to thank you. Thank you. We love you. I hope you feel that. Well, four or five of you. So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to ask my bodyguard, since he's been so instrumental. Come on, you got, you're going to have to come out and walk out with me today, since you've been helping me so much today. I don't know what to do without you. Lord, we pray you'd send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of Yeshua, our Savior, and the authority of Yahweh, the Father. Lord, send us out now that we can speak your word. Lord, may we ask the question, may I pray with you? Amen.